Okay, before we get into this interview, I just want to say I've been doing daily news update type videos on my personal Adam22 YouTube channel. These things are really highly edited. I've been putting a ton of work into them, and it would mean the world to me if you guys would go subscribe, comment, check out all my most recent videos. I promise they will not let you down. I've been doing this every day, and I want you all to watch them every day. Let's get into this interview.
Talk to me, don't. Oh, wow. That sounds better than some of the studios I've been to.
It's nice, right? It's crispy.
Yeah.
Yeah, No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. We got motherfucking Dax on here today. How
Talk
you living?
To me. I
got
to say my intro.
Let's hear it.
It's your boy Dax, and we back at it like a bad habit. If you want something better, go grab it. And today, baby, me and No Jumper finna make a big play. Come on.
You sound like you're doing like radio in Atlanta.
Yeah, something like that. Something like that. Hell yeah.
And you're like 50 years old. Like you've just been at it for a long ass time.
Yeah, 20 years.
That was smooth.
Thank you.
Damn, crazy. All right, so man, tell me about yourself. Where are you from?
So I'm originally from Ottawa, Canada.
Wow.
The capital of the whole country. Not people think it's Toronto, but it's really Ottawa. But I was born in Newfoundland, St. John. St. John's, Newfoundland.
Wow.
Which is like a fish.
Right. How long did you live out there? Was that
so? I lived out there until I grew my first tooth.
Really?
So like a couple months, and then we moved to Ottawa, the capital.
Okay. And then how long were you out there?
Ottawa till I was 18.
Okay. And then you just decided you wanted to move out here, or how did that work?
So what happened was this: I was a basketball player up until May. I just graduated in May, but I knew I wanted to leave Ottawa and play basketball in the U.S. from like seventh grade. So I went. I met a illegal Bohemian immigrant at a bus stop 12th grade year after I chose not to apply because I only wanted to play in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
He sent an iPad game to Coach Kyle Linstead in Wichita, Kansas at Sunrise Christian University. They saw the iPad, flew me out, tried out, made the team. So went to that prep school, then went junior college 1 year in Casper, Wyoming, Division One in Missoula, Montana, then got kicked out and went to D2 in Newman University in Wichita, Kansas.
So I kicked out why?
Just wasn't working out. A lot of different miscellaneous things.
You were robbing people's apartments and shit.
Don't
you were in the dorms.
No. I was definitely in the dorms, but you know, just a lot of different things didn't work out. Then I ended up going D2, where I just finished in May.
Okay, and so you've been working on your rap career all along this time, right?
No, so I started writing poetry and doing motivational speaking 2.5 years ago, my junior year.
Okay,
I heard a song. It was crazy. I was at an undisclosed location yesterday, and I saw the producer for They. That was the song I listened to that inspired me to write my first poem.
Okay.
Wrote that poem on a bus to a game, showed it to a teammate, and they were like, damn, that's deep as fuck, Daniel, because that's my real name.
Uh-huh.
And then that poem turned into just poetry, and then people basically forced me to start making music.
So was it a while before you like made the connection, like, shit, I'm writing this poetry, I might as well start rapping it?
Exactly, yeah. So I was writing the poetry, and all the poetry rhymed. Uh-huh. So people were like, man, you might as well make music, and it's a lot cooler.
What were you doing with the poetry, though? Were you involved in, like, the poetry shop scene, workshop?
Oh, yeah.
Type
I used
shit?
To, like, watch Button Poetry religiously.
Okay.
Prince EA.
So there's a lot of YouTubers who are doing the poetry thing?
Yeah. I went to spoken word poetry events.
Right.
And I was just making poetry, motivational poetry, pretty much.
It's kind of crazy because I've been to, like, the poetry spot on Fairfax with my girl and, like, just watched what it's like. And it's, like, it's kind of like the rap world, but they're, like, just not talking about the kind of things that people talk about in the rap world at all.
I want it to be the Drake of poetry. So me and Thad, who's been filming my videos from the beginning in Wichita, Kansas, we used to make poetry music videos. I still have 10 saved up.
Okay.
That once I get really big, I can like release and it won't be like corny.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. So were you like, so everybody in that world starts telling you like, no, you need to start rapping.
Everyone that was watching my family, I don't want to say fans, my family at that time was like, bro, man, you're rhyming all these words. You might as well just rap.
Right. And had you ever thought of yourself like that before?
No, I remember I used to tell Thad, like, dog, bro, I'm not trying to be a rapper. I do not want to be a rapper.
Because there's a lot that comes with that.
Oh, man, a lot of just, yeah.
There's a lot of expectations, assumptions,
A lot of people forcing you to do things that, like, you're not, that you know you probably don't want to do, but, like, you have to uphold that image, and then you're just fucked mentally.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. There's a lot of money spent on hair dye, a lot of jewelry, a lot of Gucci.
I didn't spend nothing on this, though.
No?
Nah.
Why? You came up on a truck full of hair dye or some shit?
It's a long story, man. I had someone dyed it for me first, and after it's been like 8 months since I dyed it.
Really?
Yeah, it just sort of holds.
Oh, that's pretty badass.
Yeah.
How long are you gonna let those things get?
I actually trim them periodically.
Oh, okay. So this is the desired length.
So I got past desired length about a year ago.
Oh, okay.
And this is just what I have to deal with.
Just working with it. Yeah. I mean, shit. It's almost like DJ Academics' colors that he uses when he does his fake rapper persona.
Did you see the ass jiggle video of him?
Oh, my.
Was that actually him?
No, it wasn't. But that was one of the best things ever in the history of the internet.
I felt violated watching the video, though. Because I was like, wait.
It's weird because I watched it enough times that, like, now when I think about it, it's like, obviously this dude just knew that the camera was filming that he was going to do this.
So he just shook it.
It was so funny, bro.
Fucked up.
It looked way too much like him. All right. So wait, you decide, fuck poetry. I'm getting in the rap game. How do you proceed? Because, like, when I think of you, I think of you as the sort of, like, YouTube mastermind.
Mm. So how do I proceed? So I started off, basically, Dax provides a service initially of motivation. That's my service. People need to be motivated. So boom, he's providing this service. Then the people he provides this service to are now pushing him to make music. So it's no like, oh, just another rapper. It's more like, we want you to do it so bad.
Right.
So now I just bring them with me to this new realm. Mm. And they're just like constantly pushing me as I continue to stay in contact with them. Like I've been talking to some of the same like family since like for 2 years. Mm. I'll see Gaj Kelly, GAUGEKELLY pop on my Snapchat and I open it because I know this. He started talking to me when I started my poetry shit. Mm. So it's like, he's probably spread my shit to like thousands of people, just him. So those are the people that have like pushed me up to now where I'm at.
So you're basically saying that you're very serious about making sure that your fans feel like they have a personal connection with you?
Yeah, like my initial goal was to put something into the world that would last forever because I'm like fascinated by mummies.
Mm.
Like niggas would wrap themselves in paper because they wanted to live forever. And I was like, why? And I was like, damn, I want to live forever.
And the only way to live forever is to create something so powerful, so influential, so essential to the culture that people talk about it after you die.
Exactly.
When you think about it, like almost everybody you know who's like 70 or 80 years old, that stuff that they did in their 20s or 30s is already like culturally irrelevant unless they're one of the most important people in the field.
Wow. I didn't even think about wow.
It's tough to make an impact that'll last beyond you.
Yeah. And that's exactly like that's a better explained mindset that I had right there.
Right. So wait, did you already have a fan base like online when you were just doing the poetry thing?
That
you
were bringing along? Yeah, I had a nice poetry fan base.
Poetry. Shut up.
Hey, poetry. Yeah.
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 I remember her.
That was supposed to happen.
When did you first start to like really go up virally on YouTube? Or like what was the first songs you did and like what really took off?
So I used to have these things at school called mental health days, which is like where the day I would take a walk because I just like taking walks because I could like think.
Love a walk.
Love a walk. It's a good walk.
Love
brisk
a good
walk
yeah.
You know? So I would always walk to the mall. So I'm walking to the mall and this was the time when Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump were in the election.
Mm, going at it.
And people kept telling me, yo, my name was Daniel this time because that was my poetry name. They're like, yo, you look like Designer, bro. I'm like, damn, I don't think I do. I think I'm older, so he looks like me. So I was like, damn, he just put out this song called Timmy Turner. So I'm walking to the mall on this mental health day, and I'm like, Hillary Clinton, lost to Trump and now we tripping. Thank God I got a passport. Couple months I'm going missing, right back to Canada. So I do that, and then I used to record these videos in front of this thing. So I go in front of that video, security guard, she was trying to kick me out, named Jen. So I make the video, put it up on my Instagram, and people just started going crazy. I was like, damn. So for the next 3 days, I took that video and I DM'd it to Worldstar, Funny Blacks, and Designer. And I got literally thousands of people to do the same thing. And on the third day, all those three pages posted it.
Wow.
So it went viral on Instagram. Then I called Thad. I'm like, hey, Thad. Last name Swift. Craziest first name, last name in the game. Thad
Note
Swift.
To self, I got to check out Funny Blacks on Instagram. I never heard of that.
Funny Blacks.
That's
huge
a good
page.
Name.
So I called Thad. And at this time, he's like 17 or 18. He's in high school. I'm like, bro, you got to skip class. I'm about to skip basketball practice. We got to make this music video for Hillary Clinton. Mm. We make the music video.
Wait, so they posted it before you did
before
video?
Before I did the video.
Well, that says a lot. Okay.
But as soon as they posted it, the day after I called Thad, we got to make this music video now. Boom, he skips class. I skip practice. I say I'm going to immigration.
Mm.
Make the music video. That was my first, like, spike.
You got posted everywhere?
So I had no YouTube following at this time, but everyone was searching Trump and Hilly.
Right.
So as soon as I put that on YouTube, I grew like 25,000 followers.
Wow.
In like a month or something like that.
That's smart that you just like had that foresight right from the beginning to talk about something super topical at the time. Because it's like all these hip hop pages and stuff, they want to post like political content to a certain extent, but then it's kind of like what is the stuff that will actually like appeal to their audience?
Exactly. So that was my first dabble in like going like viral, and then the Cash Me Outside shit happened.
So that came out right afterwards?
That came out like two songs after that.
Right. Was she ever upset about the fact that you put her name in the title and shit? Featuring Bad Baby, she's not actually in the video.
I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do. You know what I mean? I'm trying to get the scholarship. So I gotta dive on the floor.
Yeah.
So I put her name in the title, and her team actually hit us up. But I'm gonna tell you this right now, Bad Baby, if you're listening, once me and you make the Cash Me Outside remix, that will be the biggest song ever to touch America. That shit did 60 million views off nothing.
Right.
And was everywhere. So it's like, once me and her make that remix and she actually features on it.
So was the team upset about the song?
Nah. Her one of the manager's dude's name was Daniel, so we had the same name. So like, oh, bet, bro, we from the same bloodline.
We got to get along.
Yeah, we got to get along. So
it's like one of the most common names in the world.
Is it really? Damn.
I mean, I assume.
Damn.
Well, hey, fuck it. But no, that was smart too, though. But I've always noticed with her that she really doesn't like the Catch Me Outside thing. Like, if you try to make a joke about that or say something about that, for the most part, she's not going to respond very well. It's just like a bad memory for her. She's down to talk about all the bullshit for the most part, but that is a little bit of a tough subject for her.
We're going to change the name of the song.
So
Toss Me Outside.
Do you feel like why do you feel like you're so aware of what'll work from like a viral standpoint, and like what are the secrets? Because there's millions of people trying to go viral all the fucking time for all kinds of shit. It's weird how consistent you are with being successful at it.
The secret is this. When I first started like my journey into trying to put something into world that would last forever, I took a white piece of paper and I wrote down the number 1 million on it. And I was like, I provide this service, so if I personally tell 1 million people about this service, there's no way it can't blow up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just what I, like when I wake up in the morning, that's my goal. Continue to tell 1 million people about what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like when you simplify shit, it's so easy. It's just like, if you tell 1 million people about this one podcast, this shit's gonna get 1 million views.
Mm-hmm. That's like when you really break it down to that. Well, when you really break it down to it, like, a retweet or a share on Facebook or a share on Instagram story or whatever, it's like that is just like a new version of what we have of like just an endorsement. Like if me and you were best friends and I came up to you and I said, bro, I just watched this fucking video on Instagram, you are gonna die when you see this, you gotta watch it, there's a very, very high chance that you're gonna watch it.
Exactly.
A retweet is just like a weak ass online version of that.
Facts.
But it can get you places.
It can get you places.
That's a fact. Man, you know, I don't know. Should we just go in order of all these like moments that you've had? Because it kind of feels like that's how your career.
I'm surprised
has
you know
been.
The moments.
Why? I do my research.
Man, that's fucking awesome.
I really want to talk about the that. KSI shit.
Oh yeah, we talk about anything you want.
How did that beef start?
So
give me the timeline.
I was in Wichita, Kansas, overnight janitor doing my thing, and it was like, man, sink or swim. I was like, I have two options as a music artist. I can either dream and wait on some of these huge artists to maybe co-sign me and then like be put on,
or
I could just do
out.
Whatever the fuck I want and try to like do whatever is possible. The same way I got a basketball scholarship is the same shit I need to do with music. So I'm like, let me find my route to get more attention, and I'll just bank on that I have enough talent to when people come to what they see, they'll fuck with it. So the KSI shit, I remember Rice Gum sent me a DM one time.
How'd you have a relationship with Rice Gum? You already knew him?
Me and Rice Gum have never talked.
Oh, so
but
just random.
The diss track shit was going around. I did my first diss track. I think it was on, like, PewDiePie reposted my diss track and put it in his video.
Okay.
And I get a DM on Twitter from Rice Gum saying, one hit wonder. And I was just like, perfect. This is great ammunition.
What the fuck? That's so random.
Random as shit.
Why is he even thinking about you like that?
So I post the screenshot on all my social media, and I'm like, bet, perfect, Rice Gum diss track now. So do that, boom, 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 more views. And then there was like this Team 10 shit going on. And then the Disc God guy that also dissed Rice Gum sent me a DM saying one hit wonder too.
Whoa.
The Disc God nigga. So I'm like, bet. Made a little diss track on that. And then the diss track, I just mentioned KSI. Because I'm like, you know what? I'm just stirring up this whole little pot and I love to cook. So if I put enough sauce in the pot, a little bit of salt.
But were you already interested in like the YouTube community?
Nah, I'm not. I don't. I have no interest in any community. My only interest is to put something into the world that lasts forever.
So you were not somebody who was like going to sit around and watch like KSI videos normally?
No, I don't vlog. I don't make how-to videos. I don't do nothing. I want to put something into the world that lasts forever, and I'll do anything possible mm-hmm. to gain the audience, to show them what I'm doing to try to do that.
Right.
So I just do whatever. So yeah, got that. And then recently I put out, I put out the She Cheated Again.
Mm.
I put that out. And then one day, a kid sends me a video of KSI in a vlog, or what, I don't know what they do. They sit down at a table and shit, and then he was talking about me, and I was like, oh, wow, this is great. So then I had already made the Rap God shit and put the freestyle. We did that on 92.3 LA, and then everyone's like, yo, you got to make a normal song to this shit, and then I just threw a couple lines in it. Boom, 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 shoo, shoo.
To make it like an Eminem involved, like yeah, sort involved. Of an Eminem diss, but actually you were just using that moment. Yeah,
no, there was no diss to Eminem there. I would never diss Eminem.
Was it diss to MGK?
It was a diss to nobody. It was just called, I took the MGK beat, put the Rap God name on it,
mm-hmm.
just for searching purposes.
Boom.
And then just, I was pretty much just rapping about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, that was it. And then yeah. I put like, oh, no, Eminem signed me in the beginning.
Right, yeah. But so you didn't hear back from anyone involved with the Eminem thing?
Well, here's the thing. So I put a number for like people that text, which is one of my, it's my second phone.
Right.
But it was like 100,000 people texted that number.
Mm.
So even if M did text me,
you wouldn't know. If Eminem wanted to get in touch with you, he could probably figure out a better way.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt.
Yeah. Okay, but wait, so you dissed KSI a few times and stuff, and so then there was that video of him responding to you, and then what happened from there?
Then what happened from there was I think Deji hit me up and was just like, yo, bro, I want to come down to LA. I was like, bet.
So and you weren't at all like troubled by like, oh, why does this dude want to do a song with me when I just have this like fake internet beef with his brother?
See, I didn't even know me and KSI had beef. It's not beef to me. I'm vegetarian.
Right. But you were dissing him pretty hard in that song with Deji.
Was I?
I thought.
Nah, see, that's the thing. I keep it very like, if you listen to the actual lyrics, it's all me talking about myself.
Okay.
And then including his opinion of me within the lyrics.
Okay.
So it's never me like, the one thing I said, I called him a corny something, something, something. But it's the whole song is about myself, like, you know, Grammy, Oscar, boom, 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 boom.
Right. Interesting. So but did you feel any sort of way about being involved with Deji Diss and his brother?
Nah, just, you know, people see it and they forget.
Yeah. It's interesting because it's like, you're basically like kind of using a lot of these different like YouTube personalities to just sort of like build up hype one way or another. Like, is that kind of how you see it? Because you don't necessarily seem like you have the aspirations. I'm sure you probably could be a YouTuber in the sense that you can make videos like KSI and sit down in front of a chair and talk about whatever for 10 minutes and that could be your thing. But do you feel like that would sort of pigeonhole you to being a certain kind of artist?
I think about it like this. This is how I think about it at the end of the day. It's like, I believe I have this, like, you know, I believe I'm good at what I do and I have this talent and I feel like no one can put me in a box but myself.
Mm.
Because at the end of the day, I only make music for me. You know what I mean? If I like it, I put it out. If I don't, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I never fear someone trying to pigeonhole me into, oh, you're a YouTuber, you're this, you're that. Just, you know, everyone just has their opinions.
Yeah, but it's like sometimes the decisions you make in your career can like sort of put you in a box. And it's like, that's kind of, you know, I've had conversations with rappers who are like, you know, I had a they've said like, I can put a video on YouTube of me rapping, just freestyling, like a verse that I could write in 10 minutes and I could get a million views. But if I do that, then eventually I'm just going to be pushed into a category where nobody's going to take me seriously if I just keep doing that. They were like, I could do that every day. And I was thinking about it. I'm like, there is a big market on YouTube specifically. For some reason, you notice that there's a lot of rappers who are like really, really lyrical and can do incredibly well on YouTube. It's almost like it's like a weird thing. Like when you see how Hobson's videos do ridiculously well on YouTube, it's like.
Well, I mean, Hobson's dope as shit now. He's a whole different conversation in terms of why. He's chosen where he's wanted to be.
But were you looking at him as somebody who was kind of like utilizing like, because when I think about like the music, I guess a little similarity, but more from like a marketing perspective.
Mm.
He's somebody who's always been really smart about like doing like, you know, involving current events or different people who are in the news or whatever, stirring up some little beefs here and there as like ways to get his songs to really pop.
Mm. I don't put myself in his category. I don't put myself in really anyone's category. I just feel like, you know, Dax, I tell people like all the time, it's just like, you got to really go listen to Dax. You know, if you listen to a song like She Cheated Again, or you listen to a song like All Night Long or No Cap, you know, you're not going to pigeonhole the dude Dax into a YouTube rapper or whatever, you know, people want to call it. I just feel like it's always just a matter of time. I tell people this all the time. It's like, yo, I used to watch Drake on Degrassi. Jimmy. I remember when Jimmy was running like this. You see them hands? Right, left, right, left, pow!
Before, oh, the scene where he gets
when
shot.
He got
right.
shot. And I knew him as Jimmy.
Right.
And now I'm just like, damn, that's Drake.
Yeah.
So I always tell people who are trying to do the music thing, it's like, you can like try to do it, you know, the conventional way and maybe wish on a prayer it's going to work. Or you can go and get it out the fucking mud and make it happen and just, you know, have that Drake mentality from Jimmy to Drake. There's Hannah Montana to Miley Cyrus.
The world has no shortage of people who are salty because they think that they have a lot of musical talent, but, you know, people who have better gimmicks are getting the attention. Like, everybody's mad as fuck about that. What they don't get is that promoting yourself is a big part of the skill set. It's not just about the music. We all know people who are good at making music who have absolutely nothing going for them. It's, you know, you have to know how to promote yourself, especially these days. Like, back in the day, it would have been an issue of promoting yourself through fucking, you know, The Source and XXL and MTV and having those relationships. Now you have a direct relationship with your fans. And
exactly. And you just gotta take advantage. You gotta do what's right for you. There is no right way to become what you want to become. You gotta see an opportunity, grab it. That's why I say, it's your boy Dax, we back at it like a bat. If you want something, go grab it. See the opportunity, grab it. Once you grab it, use that opportunity to jump to the next one. Boom.
Facts. Do you have any kind of anxiety about like being able to put songs out that'll do well that don't have anything to do with like current events or any kind of like marketing, or is that always like a part of it in your mind? Is like, okay, I'm gonna have this as a way to get people to appreciate this song more?
Well, for me, it's like, I only make music based upon my life. Like, people always like, oh man, why are you rapping by yourself? It's because that's all I know is myself. So it's like, everything I do is story based depending on what's going on in my life. So it'll never be like, people be like, oh, he's advertising. I'm like, oh, no, I'm just living what I'm living. Mm-hmm. And that's what's coming out next.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I never fear, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, I know if I signed to a major label and had all that shit that most, you know, some of these huge artists have, I'd be what at that point. I know that's coming eventually.
You've been having those conversations?
Definitely.
With the labels?
Definitely.
How do you feel about them?
I feel great. I feel blessed and highly favored. I feel blessed.
Do you think that you're going to be capable of like continuing to execute your vision, even with a label, like potentially getting in there and getting in the way?
I feel very good about the future perspectives of, you know, a label involving themselves in me. I feel really good.
You sound like you're already signed.
Nah, definitely not.
No?
Definitely not. I'm signed to Daniel Dax Entertainment.
But that's what everybody who's not signed or who is signed says that they're not signed, for the record. So there's
If I was signed, I would tell you I'm not signed.
Would you really?
I'm not signed.
You can make yourself an industry plant these days by just deciding not to talk about it when you get signed.
No, I'm not signed.
Okay. Yeah, well, I believe you now. You know what's weird is that the first time I think we really had anything to do with each other was at FusiCon. Legendary.
That's the way.
Okay, let's hear about this from your perspective. Why were you there? How did you get invited?
So I saw the opportunity. I went and grabbed it. I DM'd Fousey. I DM'd Fousey the day before. I was like, yo, man, would love to be part of your band.
Smart.
You know? He was like, oh, yeah, man, come out. So I'm like, bet. But then I also, you know, he'd be saying a lot of stuff. So it was God's doing, really. The next day, I pull up on Melrose because I think I was going to PD to stop by the store or something like that. And he was at a store, right, a car place right there, fixing his car.
He was running the block for a minute.
Running the block.
That week.
Running that shit. So I saw him. I was like, Fousey! Pulled up on him, gave him the classic Dax handshake.
So from your perspective, you show up at FousiCon. What was your impression of it?
Show up at FousiCon, and I was like, wow, my first festival. But I showed up, and I was like, oh, man, this is dope, man. Great opportunity to get to meet some people. Met Wi-Fi's funeral, a bunch of different people, man. I always look at everything as just, you know, chance to create a connection.
Yeah, totally.
I met you.
Yeah, you met me.
Yeah.
There we go. And here we are. Yeah. But that's the thing, though. Like, what was your perspective on, like, it getting shut down and everything? You didn't get to actually perform, or did you?
No, I got to do, like, two or three songs.
Oh.
As soon as that shit shut down, I was like, ah, great publicity.
Right.
I was like, this nigga's on stage. It happened when I was on. I was like, great, man. Right. It was great. No one else got to perform.
Yeah.
Right. Fuck it. Yeah.
I was hyped because I was like, oh, God, thank God. Because, like, they kept handing me the mic. Nobody wanted the mic on stage because awkward. So like before the artists were going on, everybody kept being like, Adam, talk to the crowd. I'm like, how am I going to keep talking to him? What the fuck am I talking about, bro? I got no idea what I'm talking about.
I think DC the Don went on. He killed it.
He did.
I,
think,
I don't know if I went on after him or.
Yeah, I think you were right after him. Okay. Yeah. And then Lit Poppy went out.
I saw him at the club the other day.
Really?
Yeah. He was at, I was at Damn, it's actually a Spanish night tonight back at, I wish I knew the name right now. I don't, but I saw him there.
You be pulling up at Spanish nights at clubs?
Oh, yeah. I'm like 0.01% Mexican.
Really? And so you dance and everything?
Oh, yeah. I got them. Really? All that.
Nice. That actually sounds pretty fun.
Yeah, it's wild, man. Yep.
I'm trying to get into the fucking merengue scene. Whatever the fuck you call it.
Merengue.
No, I've been to a Dominican club back in the day in New York with these girls, and we were getting wasted as fuck in this club dancing. It was just like, when I think about it now, I'm like, man, I feel so weird now.
Hey, they could drink an ocean, dog.
Oh, we drank an ocean. Yeah, that's a fact.
For real.
Okay. So what? I got to ask this. What is yourworthy.org? I don't know many people with URLs tattooed on
their hand. YourWorthIt.org is a nonprofit organization I started that is spreading the importance of self-worth and repetition. So basically, I believe that. So I actually picked up my mom from the airport.
So is this something you started?
Yes, I started this shit.
Okay.
So I picked up my mom from the airport, and what my mom did to me as a child was like tell me the same thing so many times that I believed it. Just like, you know, I'm a good shooter in basketball because I've done it a million times. My mom told me I was great so many times that I was like, yo, shut up. I'm great. Bet.
Is it just me or is the you're missing the E?
Well, you see, that was for two things. First of all, the one with the E was $10,000.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, you know what? I'm going to just pay this $59.
That's fun. Cool. Yeah.
So that, but honestly, that created more traction for it.
Yeah.
People like, oh, what the fuck?
Why? Because whenever people, that's like a weird thing. I see Keemstar all the time. He always does misspellings in his tweets. And I think it's because he knows that it will go more viral from people correcting the spelling, which is really
people love to give negativity.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all.
Yeah. I would have maybe tried you are instead of YOUR. That could be kind of swaggy. I don't know.
Damn, I wish I knew you when I did that shit.
But wait, okay, so it's just about spreading positivity or what's the
mission? Yeah, the whole song is called YourWorthIt.org, and basically throughout the song I continue to tell people they're worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Cuz I feel like just people haven't heard that enough, and that's all I think it is. It's just like for example, you take the most baddest bitch in the world. I don't care how baddest woman in the world. I don't care how hot she is.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, perfect, everything. If people tell her she's ugly enough, she will believe it.
Mm-hmm.
It don't matter who the girl is. So I'm just like, damn, if people hear you're worth it enough, they'll start to believe they're worth it.
Mm. Yeah, your whole self-image, like it's very, very hard to have like an image of yourself that is disconnected from how other people view you.
Exactly.
You very rarely see yourself. Like your knowledge of who you are is mostly composed of like people telling you what they think of you.
Exactly. Even when you look at yourself in the mirror and then you take like I've taken like selfies of myself, like where it's like from the front camera, and my hair doesn't look like I thought it did.
Right. Sometimes I'll see a photo of myself and I'm just like, Jesus Christ, you're getting old.
Yeah. I really should. That's how it be.
Like the whole thing about like, oh, you're old. Like it felt like a joke. Even when I was 30, it was kind of like, shut the fuck up. I ain't old. Now I'm 35. I'm like, okay.
That's a good age, though.
I'm closer to 40 than I am 30 now.
Yeah. You're some 1942.
That's a weird feeling. 1942. No, 1983.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. If I was born in 1942.
No, I'm talking about alcohol.
Oh.
God damn it.
What are you drinking there?
This right here is apple juice.
Apple juice?
Yeah.
You double cup the apple juice?
Just for, you know.
Just for.
Mainstream purposes.
Just to fuck with people?
Fuck with people.
Nice. Yeah. There's something about that when you have a double cup that everybody just believes it's lean. You see. Even though lean's pretty hard to get.
Isn't it?
You drink lean?
No, I do not. I've never done any drug in my life.
You don't seem like you do drugs.
Yeah, I don't do drugs. Well, so one time, I was at the University of Montana, and it was this fucking jungle party, themed party, and it had like levels to the shit. And I got to the top level. You got to do some crazy shit to get to the top.
Wow, really? So like every level in the house, like
yeah,
the
that
party
type of
gets,
shit.
But what kind of stuff do you have to do to get up
so
there?
So like first level you do it. It's some crazy shit. I ain't gonna tell you, G. I'm gonna let you live. But I get to the top level, I win, and I took a hit of hookah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
So that's the farthest you've ever gone.
That's
with
the
it.
Furthest I've ever done.
Wow, I like it.
And I've been offered everything out the book.
Yeah. That's a hard part about being a rapper is having to like figure out how to say no to all the drugs people are constantly offering you.
Yeah. Well, I mean I hooped for so long, so I was like not still hoop. So it just doesn't appeal to me. I like alcohol. But just the drugs, it doesn't appeal to me.
There's a lot of hoopers who have done a prolific amount of drugs, though.
Mm.
Not that it helped or anything.
Yeah.
But no, that's good. But in terms of alcohol, what you get loaded when you do drink, or you keep it pretty chill, or what?
No, I say, man, so when I was a sophomore, that's when Chief Keef's I Hate Me, so what?
Right.
And that's when
terrible
I was like...
Terrible impact on the youth.
Terrible impact. But after hearing that song, I was like, yo, being tipsy is the greatest state to be in. Mm. Like, I'm more confident, I'm more like... So I like being tipsy.
If you can maintain that and not go past that or get too reliant on it, yeah, that's a couple drinks is a good tipsy's area dope. To be in. I used to drink beers when I did all my podcasts. I don't know what the hell happened to that.
I can't fuck with beer being Canadian, dog.
No, yeah. In retrospect, beer is kind of nasty.
Yeah. Yeah. Bloats you and just makes your stomach hurt.
This is not for me. Beer's too expensive in Canada, too. That shit's some is weird it? Shit.
Canadian yeah. dry?
You got to go to these special stores and it's crazy. It's like
special
crazy.
Stores?
I swear which to one? God. You don't know?
I'm from Canada, dog.
Yeah, but you left when you were 18?
18 years.
I don't know. I've been in Toronto and it's like if you wanted to get alcohol, you had to go to a special fucking store where it costs like three times.
Yeah, they don't sell them at Walmart.
No, yeah. It's not like out here where you can just go to a gas station.
Yeah. No, it's not like that. You got to go to a liquor store.
Yeah, liquor store.
Liquor.
Why'd you stop playing basketball anyway?
So basketball stopped playing me. What happened was this. I worked so hard at basketball. Basketball was my skill that I had spent 10 years on basketball. Mm. And then all of a sudden I'm on a bus one day and I write a poem and people are like, damn, that's deep as fuck. So I was like, wow, basketball is my skill. Poetry and music is my talent. Mm. So as soon as I wrote that first poem, I was like, wow, God gave me something that I don't have to work on.
Mm.
And I just took it and ran with it.
Because did the basketball thing feel like it was always like an uphill battle? Like, because, you know, you're not the tallest dude. You're not like the most physically skilled or whatever. It's like that's always going to be like you. There's so many kids that are passionate about sports, but it feels really deceptive to be like you keep working really hard. You're going to be in the NBA. It's like, almost nobody ever gets to make any money. And if they do, it's for a couple of years.
Yeah. Like I could have went like pro. Like I led the league in scoring when I finished at my school. But it was just like I wasn't going to get drafted to the league. It was going to be like the D league. And then, like, playing overseas and then sending the mixtape back home. Oh, look what he did. He scored 20 in Europe in the third league. So I was just like, you know, that's just not for me.
Right. But up till that point, had you, like, thought that that was so obviously your path that there was no other reason to even think about it?
Oh, no. Up until I found, like, when I was playing basketball, it was like, you're going to the league.
Right.
There was no, like, I was, like, I tell people right now, if I wouldn't have found poetry, I was going to play in the mix. I'm the type of dude, I'll find a way.
Right. Were you that hardworking? Were you always
the hardest worker ever?
Really?
What I did is I took Kobe's work ethic that I heard online and mimicked it.
Really?
He did 6 hours a day, 6 days a week. For I forget what the six one was, but I took that.
Training?
Of just training.
Really?
Plus practice, and I took that. But I wasn't as gifted as Kobe. Because
That's who really makes it, is the person who has the crazy work ethic and the insane natural genetic aptitude. Yeah.
So I maximized my potential, played D1, you know, scored there, D2, led in scoring first team. But, like, that still wasn't, like, at the level of an NBA player just to easily get drafted.
Yeah, yeah. Who do you identify as, like, your fan, like, your real fan base? Like, the people who have just gravitated towards your music that you built up this crazy fan base on YouTube in particular?
The people who fuck with Dax and Daniel are the people who, like, know they want more with their life.
Mm.
They don't necessarily know what that more is, but they know they want it. And I'm like the guy that's like, yo, I was an overnight janitor, then I found this, and I made a decision that I'm going to be one of the biggest hip-hop artists in the world, and I'm just working towards that blindly with these fucking blinders on. So that's my fan, the people who want more.
Mm. Do you ever feel like you don't fit in necessarily 100% with rappers because rap is supposed to be sort of like nihilistic or like, you know, the spreading like a positive message through rap sometimes makes you sort of stand out and be different than your peers, wouldn't you say?
I mean, I don't think people don't know me. I'm a dog. Like, you know, I mean, I'm a nice guy. I'm a motivational guy, but I'm still human. I still do everything that dudes do, but it's just like, I just know that, like, I love chains, I love money, I love cars, I love all that stuff. I don't got the money to get all the ones I want, but I know once I do have the money, I will get them. But I won't let that cloud my brain process, you feel me? So I still like all the shit normal dudes do besides drugs, but it's just like, and I just haven't met most of these dudes personally.
Mm.
But once, like, a dude will meet me, they always end up saying, man, I fuck with that nigga.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, they might see something online, which is, online's a bitch. Online's a bitch.
Do you feel like you get all that hate?
Nah, my shit's all positivity, really. Right. I go through my comments a lot. I like all people's comments. I get a lot of positivity.
Yeah, no, definitely. I was, like, just talking to the backpack kid, and he was telling me how it just feels like he gets all negativity now. I'm like, bro, it's because you're too big now. Like,
yeah, he get puberty.
You know, when he had, like, 150K or whatever, I bet it was all love. Though. Because, you know, that's kind of, like, before, like, the problem kicks in once everybody knows about you, including people who don't give a fuck about you. You're in a good situation because most of the people who know about you are people who fuck with you.
Yeah. I still don't know his real name, but I fuck with him. We always see each other.
It's Russell.
Oh, yeah. You know, he was one of the first. He posted the Hillary Clinton song.
Really?
Back then. Like, that's why every time I say, I'm like, bro, man, I fuck with you, bro. You really helped me with that.
That's tight.
DM'd him and he replied. The kid was like 13, 14 at the time. Posted it, dancing to it. Shit helped.
Wow, that's badass.
Yeah.
Damn. How do you feel about Black Santa?
That's me. But that's also shout out to Baron Davis, who created that whole brand.
Uh-huh.
So I played in the Black Santa Celebrity All-Star Game, and that's what sparked that idea.
Really?
Yeah.
There's an All-Star Game based around Black Santa.
Black Santa. Baron Davis created this dope-ass movement with Black Santa and everything. Shout out to him for that. I hope he sees this.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And then, yeah, and that sparked that idea.
That's badass.
Even wore the T-shirt in the music video.
Yeah. That was funny. I seen it. You dressed up as a Black Santa with vodka bottles all over you.
I did.
I was tight. Are you really vegan and celibate right now?
No.
That was a joke.
I said like I'd been like on like two tours of war. I was celibate.
Oh,
you know?
Okay. So I don't think I finished reading the caption. I saw vegan and celibate. Yeah, people I'm like, I got to ask about that.
So many people have asked me about that. It's crazy. Yeah. Are you vegan?
Hell no.
No? Okay.
To be honest, I was vegan for like 3 years when I was in high school.
Wow.
Yeah.
How'd you feel?
Like shit.
Damn.
I mean, I might have thought I felt all right at the time, but like, you know, I was riding BMX bikes like all the time.
Really?
And I was really trying to eat good and stuff. And then like, but I just noticed that my like recovery time was horrible. I'd go out riding for eight hours and then I'd like 2 or 3 days.
Well,
that's like when I was a kid, we would just ride every day, all day, you know, but then like, I would just notice that my recovery time was terrible. Like I would just be super sore after and I started eating fucking chicken and fish. And then
my favorite food is rice.
Rice is cool. I like to stay away from the carbs for the most part. You have a very low body fat percentage, so you'll probably be all right. But myself, personally, rice is kind of the devil.
Really?
Yeah.
I've just recently started to really like sushi.
Sushi.
Sushi is like the California roll.
Sushi in general, I love, yeah. That's like, sometimes when I think about it, I'm like, man, I order like $80 worth of sushi sometimes at like 2 o'clock 80? In the morning. Yeah.
Damn. That's all for you?
Me and my girl, maybe she might have 15% of it.
Okay, 15%.
Realistically, I mean, she has like really good self control about eating. Like she'll like eat the amount that she actually wants. I will eat everything that everybody else did.
They say your eyes eat more than your stomach or your mouth.
Yeah, I'm a huge victim of that, man. I just eat whatever is there. I'm eating it.
Wow.
Yeah. How's your diet though?
I just recently stopped eating fast food. That's I think moving out to LA does that to you. I did grocery 2 weeks ago, and I've been living off that grocery. And my mom just came in, so she's about to cook up some rice and some fufu because she's from Nigeria.
So having your mom around, that's exciting or what?
Oh man, it's great. Last time I saw her was when I graduated, but she's back here now. It's been 8 months since then, so it's always good. It's like she always like brings me back to earth.
Mm.
Even though I feel like I do a good job of that, but like she always brings me back, so it was great.
She's from Nigeria?
She's born. Both my parents were born in Nigeria.
My editor, his mom is from Nigeria, and she came in to meet me. And I feel like I kind of understand what you're saying because her energy and like her positivity and just like how she greeted me, I was like, wow.
Yeah, I wanted to bring my mom, but I was like, mom, I'm not sure what the vibe is gonna
be. Yeah.
So I was just like, you know, just stay.
If your mom saw like 10 backwoods being smoked, would she be freaked out?
Oh man, shoot, what is going?
She might have hit it. Start she, freaking what? Out. I gotta leave.
It would have been wild. So I was like, you know, I just chill.
Yeah, that's amazing. So, have you put out anything like a project up to this point, or are you just doing singles?
That's what's crazy. A lot of people don't know like some of the stuff I released. I released this project August 22nd called "It's Different Now."
Okay,
and it's circulating. It's doing really well but I finally have like all the music videos done, and now that I've created this traction, once I drop these videos, it's gonna be dope. So people can sing along when I perform and shit.
Yeah, that'd be fire. Have you on tour or anything yet?
No, so I did. My first performance was this time last year.
Okay.
So this time last year, I had just moved from Wichita, Kansas, quit the janitor job, left school, then went back and made a graduate. So I just moved to LA a year ago, started performing. Last year I did 20 shows, did a Rolling Loud Oakland. That was dope as shit. Wow. Went to China, did two performances, AO Festival, 40,000 people, just went back Christmas, killed that shit. So this year is really just like, that shit was a warm-up. You know, 2018 was a warm-up year for a nigga. So 2019 is really just like, man, really step into that artist role.
Yeah. Damn, that's crazy. This is going to be a big year for sure.
Yes, sir.
What life experience did you gain from being a janitor? Did you not like it?
Oh, I loved it.
Really?
I tell people all the time, if you want to be an upcoming rapper, become a janitor. Why? Because that is one of the only jobs in the world no one is watching you.
Everybody just leaves you alone. That's a good point.
I was overnight janitor. And I would do this. I put my basketball shorts on, my sneakers.
Oh, overnight too. That's
overnight,
great. Yeah.
Overnight. And I would run through my job. So it was an 8-hour job overnight in the summer. I would finish it in like 30 minutes to 45. So then after I finished, I would just be working on my music shit for the rest of the time.
Wow, that's amazing.
And no one's watching me.
Right. No, I used to work at this old folks home, but the problem was that it was like during the day. This was when I was like 16. I worked there for a summer, but it was like, you know, I could sleep in the stairwell. I could like duck away and like read a book, sit around. Like, you know, if I had a phone at the time, that's definitely what I would have been doing. But yeah, overnight would be fire because realistically, it's like if they give you 8 hours of work, like you got to be.
People asleep and you just chilling. I was just chilling. I was loving work.
As long as shit's clean.
Yeah, exactly.
Damn, that actually makes it sound
old folks
pretty
home.
Good.
I heard that's one of the most like fucked up places to work. I heard they just be fucking.
The old people are fucking.
You haven't.
I wasn't privy to it if they were.
Oh, okay. I know. I've had a bunch of people I know and worked at old folks. I heard they're just like crazy, raunchy, just ridiculous.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
That wasn't really the energy I was picking up on, but shit, I believe it. I guess.
Where was yours? Yours in Mississippi?
This is back in New Hampshire, where I'm from.
That's why.
But you know what was funny is that the ladies who worked in the office room or whatever the fuck it was, who were in charge of it, they were like nuns. They were dressed as nuns, but technically they were nuns. And one time I heard them talking shit about me and talking about how their sons were so much more well behaved than me and how they had seen me sleeping in the stairwell and shit.
That's wild.
Yeah, it was kind of funny to get shit talked by a bunch of nuns.
That's crazy. Yeah, my Catholic, I went to Newman University in Wichita, Kansas. It was a private Catholic school. We had nuns on campus.
Yeah.
It's wild.
It's a weird decision to make as a woman.
You know what? I was just telling someone, I was like, how does a priest decide not to, like, I don't even want to get into it, but it just be, I don't understand that.
Yeah. And does being a priest turn you into a child molester, or is it just that child molesters are more likely to go become priests?
Man, that's just a question I can't answer.
Yeah, I don't know.
I have no idea.
It's a weird thing. Not that all priests are.
Yeah, okay. Some good ones.
You know what I mean. Did your car really blow up at McDonald's?
It really did. So I haven't even had a license for 2 years. I've had a license for a year and 2 months now.
Okay.
So I bought my first car about a year and 2 months ago. Shit, so I've been driving now. I bring it out here. It was a Dodge Charger. I bought it from one of my teammates' girlfriend's stepdad in Wichita, Kansas. Bought it in cash. I'm like, damn, I got to charge. So I bring it out here, 22-hour drive from Kansas. I'm in a McDonald's drive-thru one day, and I'm just on the phone ordering McDouble, McChicken, two small fries, and an apple pie.
That sounds pretty close to what I get.
Two apple pies.
Say it again.
McDouble, McChicken, one small fry, two apple pies, and a Coke.
That sounds about right. That's good. I like
yeah,
it. Yeah,
that's a fucking fire. But
not anymore.
I look to the right.
Fast food.
Yeah, we off that. I look to the right, and my shit's steaming. And I'm like, damn. So then within like 15 seconds, it shoots up. I hop out the car. I'm like, yo, back up, back up, back up, back up, back up. It blows up. The whole sign gets lit on fire and everything. Everyone pulls up fucking 911, firemen. They're just like, it was leaking, apparently.
Oh.
And they said it was a matter of time. They're like, you were lucky you weren't on the highway driving when this happened.
Right.
And that you were just like stationary.
Yeah. But you got unscathed. Was the car totally destroyed?
Yeah, the car was like done.
You lose any of your valuables in the car?
Nah, luckily I don't keep a lot of shit in my car.
See, I always think about that. If my car was starting to explode, I would probably still go for my backpack in the trunk, and that probably would be the reason why I would die.
There might have been a backpack.
I need that laptop.
Yeah, I don't bring nothing in the car. Just my I got a charger in there. I got my phone, wallet, which is in my pocket, and then I'm good to go.
Yeah, well, there you go. So was that strange for the McDonald's employees?
Yeah, like my first thing was like, what's my insurance going to say? And I had full insurance, so I was lucky. Because literally that day, I had just moved from Kansas, so State Farm's insurance from California called me like, your insurance is from Kansas, you have to switch.
Mm.
And they're like, and I couldn't afford the full insurance at that time, so I was about to switch to like partial insurance.
Mm-hmm.
But then someone called me, and I was like, yo, can I call you back? So I was lucky, I was about to switch right there to partial. But because I had to call someone else, I still had full.
Wow.
Which covered everything.
That is lucky as hell.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Crazy. What else do we not know about you, or what else do we need to discuss?
Man, I can go through hella shit. What don't y'all know about Dax? Dax is 6'2", chocolate drizzle male. my favorite snack is string cheese. I enjoy long walks on concrete. I don't text often. If you're trying to hit me, FaceTime me. My favorite color is green.
What's your love life like?
Right now?
Yeah.
Non-existent. Because
it kind of sounds like you're writing a Tinder bio right now, and you're like, long
it?
Walks on the concrete.
I got
I'm
a
like,
Tinder.
You sound pretty well rehearsed in terms
hey,
of.
Hey, Tinder
oh, you
is
have
a,
one. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Tinder is a great place to find new build my following.
Yeah, I had Tinder before I got a long-term girlfriend, and when I think about it, it's like I wonder what Tinder with clout would be like.
Man, it's great.
That's great. I missed out.
It's great, but I don't be like meeting up with people on there like that. But it's just like. It's the same way I reply to people on Instagram. It's like Tinder is all females.
Mm-hmm.
Build my female fan base. So why not connect with people on Tinder and have conversations?
Why not have it on men
your
and
dad
women?
Dad likes men.
So, that could be part of your whole image, though. It's like, I'm not gay, but I do want you to listen to my mixtape.
Yeah, no, I support everybody, man. If you do what you want.
Definitely.
If it's long, it's long. If it's not, it's not.
Yeah. Tinder.
Tinder, man.
Follow me on Tinder if you want to hear my new tape.
My new tape.
New tape dropping on Tinder. Oh, man. Shit. What else are we talk about? This seems like it's pretty good.
Yeah, no,
45 minutes of real,
that was 45?
Real chat. Damn. Real talk. And like, a pee break.
Yeah, no.
It's fucking lit. Who do you listen to these days?
I tell you what, man. I listen to... Always listen to Drake. I actually met Drake the other day. That shit was lit.
Where?
At a party on
really?
New Year's.
I gotta go to more parties.
It was lit. Met him. That was a great experience, man. It's dope meeting someone I've been listening to for that long.
Right.
I was lit. LeBron was there too, so that was lit.
Crazy.
Listen to Drake. I listen to Lil Baby. Listen to Travis Scott. Listen to Russ. Listen to I listen to Gunna. I listen to Future. I listen to Juice WRLD and Trippy.
Mm.
I listen to Goth Baby.
Goth Baby.
Yeah.
She's up next. Yeah.
I see those things.
You seen me in her video?
I did. I've been in places with Goth Baby too, so I can like I see the
okay.
You know, and like them and Hitway Production and shit like that.
Goth Baby, I'm in the video and I'm wearing this weird pink sweater and I don't know what was going on.
You
wanna know what's funny why I went that day? Is cause somebody texts me, they go, yo, there's a video shoot you should pull up to. It's Trippy, Lil Xan, and Lil Baby. And I'm like, oh, damn. Like, I want to meet Lil Baby. I got to get an interview with him, blah, blah, blah. So I pull up, and then it's Goth Baby, not Lil Baby.
You see, maybe I studied you more than you studied me.
Oh, so you already knew that? Because I said that in the vlog. I always feel like rappers and shit don't watch my actual vlogs.
No,
weird
I'll be
shit.
Watching, man. You got to watch what you want to be a part of.
That's true. Yeah.
You feel me?
Feel you.
Who else do I listen to?
That's why I watch Cops. Me. One day I'm going to be a criminal.
Really? I thought you said, what are you going to be a cop?
One day I'm going to be in jail.
I know a cop, but.
I know a cop.
Yeah.
You don't want to admit that. They're going to say you're a snitch.
Nah, I'm joking. I don't know a cop.
You don't know him like that.
One of my personas is actually a cop.
Really?
So it's be dope. It's dope as shit.
I was thinking about coming up with like a costume, like character to sort of do on camera sometimes.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, I don't know what I want to do, but.
I don't know about that.
I'm sort of pigeonholed with this beard, though. It's like I'm going to be sort of.
I don't remember you having this shit.
Nah, this is some new shit.
But no, what I want to say, man, this shit is dope as fuck, honestly. I don't know how the fuck you got so good at that shit. I was watching some videos.
Trial and error, man.
Repetition.
NoJumper.com.
That shit. No, I might,
that's how
honestly,
I got good
I might
at
get
it.
One soon, honestly.
You know, we got you. We'll hook it up.
Oh, I'll bet.
I believe in you, actually. I mean, you're a basketball player, so you're going to have that skill set. Like Dennis Rodman.
Wow.
Right away. Got it.
And no, honestly, real shit, I appreciate you for bringing me on, man.
Oh, my pleasure.
I tell you,
my
goal is like just to like, you know, just fuck with everyone and just do all these cool ass things. Like, this is fun as fuck, so I'm just happy to be here.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely happy to be part of the growth. How many YouTube subscribers you got now?
I hit 1 million.
Damn, there
you go. Last 2 months, I grew like 600,000.
Crazy.
Crazy.
Dropping music videos on YouTube is the key to
exactly.
Getting hella subscribers. I noticed that when I see that Lyrical Lemonade has like 7 million.
Damn, it said 7 million?
Yeah. Crazy.
Man, I'm trying to do a video with Cole Bennett, man. That motherfucker's culture pusher. I love that shit, man.
Yeah, he's just out here playing football with Blueface right now.
I saw that. Me and
Blueface fan?
Hell yeah. Me and Blueface is boys. We met once.
Nice.
Bob.
I
fuck with him, man. And the music's dope. That's the thing. Like the music's dope.
Anybody who has enough personality to turn yeah I ate into a catchy like ad lib, it's a good sign.
Yeah. And people don't understand the skill of rapping around a beat.
Mm.
To be able to, like, he raps, like, there's some songs where he raps around the beat and not on it.
It's crazy because there's a lot of dudes in LA and shit, or in the Bay as well, who like sort of have like a similar like flow thing going on with the Blueface thing, which is I guess like why it doesn't seem that crazy to me. But I feel like Blueface is like the face of that flow or that like style of sort of being scattered all over the track. Because like a lot of the reasons why people love Blueface is the same reason why I love Draco the Ruler. He just raps all over the beat, weird as fuck, but he just manages to make it work.
Zach, you never know what you're getting.
Yeah. So what you got coming up that we gotta keep an eye out for?
Man, so dropping a bunch of cool ass, like, I got this one concept shit that's going down right now. It's called, shit, I can't even say, but it's basically about, I went through this thing the other day, and it was like a close, like, situation, and it's basically made me think about, like, think about this question right here.
You talking about the car blowing up at the McDonald's?
No, that was months ago.
Oh, okay.
But I got this situation I can't speak on, but so think about this question right here. What would your last words be if someone put a gun to your head and said you had 2 minutes before they shoot?
369.
Damn.
Treyway. I probably say, yeah, I.
Something like that. But you know, I mean, like on a deeper level, like that's really some shit I've been thinking about the past like 20 hours. So like that's I got a next something coming out for that's really gonna, I feel like, shock the world. And then other than that, I got this Fuck Love EP that's really gonna drop and really turn some heads, and that sort of piggybacks off the She Cheated Again song, and it's a lot of cool stuff. Just really excited just to leave my imprint on the game.
That's what's up, man. Hey, I respect it, and you definitely have a great mind towards how to do this thing. So I look forward to seeing how your career unfolds from here. It's always nice to fuck with anybody who's primarily built their following on YouTube and everything.
Thank you.
Know? It means something to me as somebody who really came up on the tube.
Yeah, man. That's what I say. It's a platform. It's like I tell people, like, people get caught up in SoundCloud rapper, YouTube rapper, this and that. You got to build your platform how you got to build it. And this is what I'm gonna say this show on the show right
fans
now.
Fans are fans.
This term clout chaser is like killing kids' dreams. Like a clout chaser is someone who is gonna do anything and everything to make their dream happen. I put this shit on my IG. It was like, yo, that's like me when I was trying to get a Division I basketball scholarship, and I knew fucking Syracuse and whatever in the building. I dove on every loose ball. Does that make me a clout chaser? No. I got a family to feed. I got to retire my parents. So don't be scared of this word clout chaser. Do what you got to do to get what you got to get. Because not everybody is like, not everybody has someone co-signing them. Mm-hmm. Not everybody has a big ass back. Not everyone's rich. So you just got to do what you got to do. I was broke. I was a janitor. So I did what I had to do to now be able to sit with you on like no jumper.
You ever see like when they have like the old tweets from Kendrick Lamar where he was like, yo, I'm trying to hit 4,000 followers, yeah, blah, blah, blah. It's like
crazy.
Motherfuckers are only cool as fuck once they are already cool as fuck.
Like, exactly. You know,
when you're smaller in your career, you got to fight for every fucking fan, bro.
That's what I'm saying. In goddamn 2019, we're turning the word clout chaser to a positive term.
I'm chasing after the clout.
I had like 4,000 kids DM me saying, I'm a fucking clout chaser.
I like that.
Because I posted, I said, everyone tell me you're a clout chaser and that you're going to do whatever it takes to chase your dreams. I had 4,000 kids.
We chasing clout all 2019.
All 2019.
I'm down, bro.
Bet.
Clout chasers, it's happening. Dax.
It's Dax.
No Jumper. Coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Subscribe to his channel. And by all means, go check out the Adam22 channel too, because I've been dropping heat daily. Bop.
Bop.
Bop. I'm ballin' like an alpine, but got no joy. I'm ballin' like an alpine, but got no joy.